Mars is My Destination by Frank Belknap Long. Chapter 1. I'd known for 10 minutes that something terrible was going to happen. It was in the cards, building to a zero-count climax. The spaceport bar was filled with a fresh, washed, clean smell, as if all the winds of space had been blowing through it. There was an autumn tang in the air as well, because it was open at both ends, and out beyond was New Chicago, with its parks and tall buildings, and the big inland sea that was Lake Michigan. It was all right, if you just let your mind dwell on what was outside. Men and women with their shoulders held straight, and a new lift to the way they felt and thought, because Earth wasn't a closed circuit anymore. Kids in the parks pretending they were spacemen, bundled up in insulated jackets, having the time of their lives. A blue jay perched on a tree, the leaves turning red and yellow around it. A nurse in a starched white uniform pushing a perambulator, her red-gold hair whipped by the wind, a dreamy look in her eyes. Nothing could spoil any part of that. It was there to stay, and I breathed in deeply a couple of times, refusing to remember that in the turbulent, round-the-clock world of the spaceports, death was an inveterate bar hopper. Then I did remember, because I had to. You can't bury your head in the sand to shut out ugliness for long, unless you're ostrich-minded and are willing to let your integrity go down the drain. I didn't know what time it was, and I didn't much care. I only knew that death had come in late in the afternoon and was hovering in stony silence at the far end of the bar. He was there all right, even if he had the same refractive index as the air around him, and you could see right through him. The sixth sense kind of awareness that everyone experiences at times, call it a premonition if you wish, had started an alarm bell ringing in my mind. It was still ringing when I raised my eyes and knew for sure that all the furies that ever were had picked that particular time and place to hold open house. I saw it begin to happen. It began so suddenly it had the impact of a big, hard-knuckled fist crashing down on the spaceport bar, startling everyone, jolting even the solitary drinkers out of their private nightmares. Actually, the violence hadn't quite reached that stage, but it was a safe bet that it would in another 10 or 12 seconds. And when it did, there was no chain or big double lock on Earth that could keep it from terminating in bloodshed. The tip-off was the way it started, as if a fuse had been lit that would blow the place apart. Just two voices, for an instant, raised in anger, one ringing out like a pistol shot. But I knew that something was dangerously wrong the instant I caught sight of the two men who were doing the arguing. The one whose voice had made every glass on the long bar vibrate like a tuning fork was a blonde giant, 6'4" at least, and built massive around the shoulders. His shirt was open at the throat, and his chest was sweat-sheened, and he had the kind of outsized ruggedness that made you feel it would have taken a heavy rock-crushing machine a full half-hour to flatten him out. The other was of average height, and only looked small by contrast. He was more than holding his own, however, standing up to the Viking character defiantly. His weather-beaten face was as tight as a drum, and his hair was standing straight up as though a charge of high-voltage electricity had passed right through him. He just happened to have unusually bristly hair, I guess, but it gave him a very weird look indeed. I don't know why someone picked that critical moment to shout a warning, because everyone could see it was the kind of argument that couldn't be stopped by anything short of strong-armed intervention. Advice at that point could be just as dangerous as pouring kerosene on the fuse to make it burn faster. But someone did yell out, at the top of his lungs, "Pipe down, you two! What do you think this is, a debating society?" It could have turned into that, all right. The deadliest kind of debating society, with the stone contingent taking sides for no sane reason.